From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message from the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a message entitled, The Weeping Christ. The Lord Jesus was known as the Man of Sorrows, and in the course of his time on this earth, he demonstrated his true humanity by shedding tears, tears of sympathy, of agony, and of mercy. Dr. Cairns will continue this message in a few minutes, but first he brings today's hot topic, the cold comfort of falling abortion rates.
It's not too often that you get anti-abortionists and pro-abortionists celebrating the same event as good news. When it was reported recently that the number of abortions being performed in the United States had dropped to 1.2 million a year, both sides found something to celebrate. It was good news. Or was it? 1.2 million abortions per year means that abortions are at their lowest since 1976. At least, that's what a new report claims. Obviously, every abortion less than the grisly norm of recent decades is something to be grateful for. But a closer look at the underlying reality soon wipes the gloss off any celebration. Some researchers claim that the impositions of more restrictions on abortions accounts for some of the decline. If this is so, I rejoice and hope that more states will place more restrictions on the barbarism that is daily executed. An accurate word under the circumstances. The barbarism that's daily executed in the nation's hospitals and clinics. A more immediate reason for the drop seems to be the widespread use of the controversial abortion pill RU486. How many conceptions this early form of abortion has terminated is anybody's guess. But one thing seems clear. America's abortion rate is not declining because of any revival of moral standards. Whatever the reasons, the trend was welcomed by both anti-abortion and abortion rights advocates. If pro-abortionists are applauding these latest figures, believe me, there's no real reason for pro-life advocates to celebrate. Let the figures sink in. This nation gives the sanction of law, indeed the protection of the Constitution, to the killing of 1,200,000 babies per year. And we're supposed to celebrate that as something representing a drop of around a couple of 100,000 a year? Here's the cold reality. We live in a nation where sexual morality is trampled in the gutter. Young people who maintain virgin purity are often viewed as oddities. Living together without the benefit of marriage is so common that for anyone to raise an objection to it makes them sound as up-to-date as a dinosaur. This is the me generation. Even the life of a baby can be snuffed out if it happens to inconvenience the all-important me. With the availability of RU486, more women can live in sin and comfortably destroy any child they may conceive, all without the inconvenience and guilty feeling of having to undergo an abortion procedure. So despite the apparently encouraging figures on declining abortion rates, the moral situation in America is as bleak and godless as ever. That's why these figures are cold comfort to Christians who oppose abortion on demand, as all Christians should. It's why we should continue to oppose the abortion industry by all lawful means. But it is also why we should realize that fighting abortion is not the great answer to America's moral depravity. More than ever, we need to see this country caught in the spiritual blaze of the old-time preaching of the law and the gospel. The law to let men know what sin is and does, and to drive them to cry to God for mercy. And the gospel to show them that mercy is available in the person and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only real answer to the moral and spiritual needs of this or any other nation.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
From cradle to cross, from the womb to the tomb, the Son of God bore in His own human flesh the burden, the weight, the responsibility of human sin. And He was preeminently Man of sorrows. These tears of Christ, the man Christ Jesus, are a window into His soul. They let you look beyond the outward appearance. It's vain to speculate upon the outward appearance of Christ. I believe it's worse than vain. I think it's idolatrous. But we are not left to our own devices or our own imaginings when it comes to penetrating beyond the veil of flesh and seeing into the very soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have a window into a soul. It's interesting that we have three great records of Christ weeping. We see Him weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. The briefest verse in the English Bible. Jesus wept. Those were tears of sympathy. And they show us the man, Christ Jesus, entering into the sorrows and the trials and the troubles and the infirmities and the afflictions and the concerns of human life. Those tears at Lazarus' tomb tell us what Paul later records in the 4th chapter of Hebrews. That we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But we have one who was in all points tempted like as we are, apart from sin. Therefore he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The tears of Jesus at the grave of Lazarus tell us that there is one whose heart is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. There is one who understands the way we take. There is one who knows the darkness of the road we travel. There is one who knows the heartbreak that we feel. There is one who can enter where no one else on earth can enter. When we feel ourselves entirely enveloped by the trials and the troubles, the overwhelming pressures of life, there is one who knows all about that and who knows all about us, who enters in with us. There are times in life when you leave your nearest and your dearest behind. There are times in life when even your loved one can hold your hand, but they cannot touch your heart. There are times when they cannot penetrate the darkness. They cannot alleviate the oppression. They cannot bear you along. All their sympathy at times seems but to exacerbate the awful loneliness and alienation, the burden of your heart. Dearest friends recede into the mists of impotence. And then you find the truth of the old chorus that used to be so popular. Nowadays you hardly ever hear it. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. The tears of Jesus, our Savior, at the tomb of Lazarus were tears of sympathy. We read of Him weeping with strong cries and tears, we are told, in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Gethsemane's gloom, they were tears of agony. I'm not going to try to penetrate that. I freely confess I cannot do it. Many years ago, and I have mentioned this some couple of years back from this pulpit, I think, but many years ago, when I was not long in the pastorate in Sharon Drive, we did a brief series of studies on the tears of Christ. The service, I don't know that the sermon was anything profound or unique, but the service was. I remember people after that talking about the feeling of darkness, spiritual struggle, spiritual battle that they had been introduced to. I remember in my study that week, spending periods of time before God with His Word and in prayer, crying to God that He would make this real to me in a way that I had never felt before. And for the only time in my ministry, I had to cry to God to give no more. I cannot penetrate that darkness. Tears of agony. This was the precursor to that cry on Calvary, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Hear the Lord Jesus in all, and I use the word because it's a scriptural word, in all the weakness of his humanity. For we are told he was crucified in weakness. In all the weakness of his humanity, divested of all the help of his friends, with all hell let loose against him, in all the greatest concentration of hellish fury ever recorded in human history, with Calvary looming before him and the weight of a lost world upon his heart, in the agony of his soul, he cries with strong tears. The amazing love was this, that the cry, in its essence, was a cry to survive Gethsemane in order to be able to go to Calvary. The man, Christ Jesus, and his tears of agony, he suffered. Oh, how he suffered. Never forget what Dr. Shedd, the great Presbyterian theologian, used to remark. The essence of atonement is suffering. The essence of atonement is suffering. When you look into the soul of the Lord Jesus through the tears of his agony, remember, he suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And then, of course, at Jerusalem's doom, his tears were tears of mercy. Tears of mercy. I stand amazed at the tears of Jesus Christ, our Savior, over the city of Jerusalem. I stand amazed because, again, I remind you of the place and the people. And standing in that place, beholding that people, our Lord Jesus wept tears of mercy. Why? Because he said, "I came to seek, and I came to save that which was lost." So the tears are first a proof of the true humanity of Christ. But they are also a proof of something else, and that is the tender-heartedness of Christ. Again, remember, those tears were not for himself. They were not over Jerusalem tears at the prospect of his own suffering. They were not even tears for his disciples. They were not tears for the bereavement of his mother. They were tears for his enemies. Tears for the very people who were just about to murder him. What a marvelous thing is the love of Christ. The hymn writer put in words the testimony of everyone who's ever been awakened to receive the grace of God. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." No one. And we must never minimize. I think we do this, you know. We shouldn't. We look at the person of Christ. Well, he's God manifested in the flesh. Yes, he is. And from this pulpit, I have never field, I hope to take an opportunity to emphasize the absolute and the true, eternal, essential, unchangeable deity of Jesus Christ. Without that, we have no gospel. And I will go further and say, without that, we have no God. For there is no God apart from Jesus Christ and the revelation in Him. It's in Him that we know God. It's in Him that God has revealed Himself. It's in Jesus Christ that man and God come together to meet. And there is no other meeting place. There is no other communion. There is no other heart knowledge of God. God is not a God. He is the God. And He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I've never, by the grace of God, never will cease to proclaim the deity of Christ. But His humanity is as real as His deity. Understand that.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.